Welcome back to another season of South Africans Abroad, a show for expat South Africans and anyone interested in the experiences of those who have made the move overseas. Each episode, we'll hear from South Africans who have left the country to pursue new opportunities, be with loved ones, or simply follow their dreams. We'll explore the challenges and triumphs of life as an expat and the unique perspective that comes with being a South African abroad. I'm your host, Warren Burley, an expat South African who, like many, followed the dream of working overseas. Whether you're an expat yourself or just curious about the expat experience, join us as we delve into the motivations, struggles, and joys of being a South African living overseas. Today we delve deep into the captivating journey of Adrian, a compassionate missionary hailing from Minnesota. Adrian, how are you doing?
I'm very good, and you, Warren?
Yeah, good, man. Do you want to just give us a short introduction of who you are?
Yeah, my name is Adrian Bressler, and I was born in Tabazimbi, Limpopo, and then eventually lived in Zanine in Limpopo as well. And that's where I met my wife. She's American.
Okay.
And we got married, and then we lived in South Africa till about 2017. And then we moved here to the United States, and then we've been living here for 6 years now.
Okay. So what did you do in South Africa? What was your job?
So I worked for a church. I was a missionary for about 17 years.
Okay.
That's how I met my wife, because she came to the States. She wanted to do some volunteer work there for about a year, and that's where we met, and it was love at first sight. We got married, and all our kids were born there.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I did.
Okay.
And but that's not what I do now.
Okay, so before we get into what you do now, just tell us a little bit about missionary work. What exactly, because everyone's heard about, I'm a missionary, I do missionary work, but what exactly does that entail?
Well, when I was about 22 years old, I joined this mission base in Zanine.
Okay.
And we did a whole bunch of work in the local community, but mostly in Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Zambia, Malawi, things like that. So we would go on trips and we would assist churches in those rural areas. That was quite an adventure.
Okay.
We also did a lot of work in South Africa as well. You know, we went a lot to like Limpopo area, the rural areas, and then also Natal and things like that. But yeah, and then eventually my brother and I, we started this like a carpentry business. And the idea behind it was we wanted to help young people, you know, people that maybe just need a break or maybe they got problems with drugs or whatever. And then that business kind of grew and grew and grew and grew over the years. That also gave me the opportunity to travel a little bit. We did some work in Switzerland and everything.
Okay.
But it was all still part of the church.
And with that, I mean, that's all donation-based, correct?
Yep. Yeah, I didn't get a salary.
Okay, and then you said your wife, she came over there and you met there, right? So she was doing missionary work for an American church?
No. She knew some people in South Africa through her dad, and she always wanted to go to South Africa and help there. So she's actually a nursing assistant, so she's in the medical field.
Okay.
And so she came with the idea of helping at some of the rural hospitals and some orphanages and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's kind of when I met her, and then obviously everything changes.
So then you guys had kids. How many kids you got?
We got 3 kids. I've got a son who actually is today's birthday. He's 27 today.
Okay.
And then I've got a daughter. She is 17. And I've got a younger son who's 11.
So how old were they when you moved over to the States?
Well, my oldest son actually came over when he was 17 by himself. He came to finish high school year. And then when we'd moved over in 2017, my daughter was 12 and my youngest was 5.
And how did they respond to you moving over to the States?
For my son, he was still 5. To him, it was all about if there's a playground.
Yeah.
For my daughter, it was the end of the world.
Okay.
She did not want to move. She misses South Africa. She's still, if I tell her today we're moving back, she will want to move back. But they did very well, though. They adjusted well. They, just took some time, but
yeah, they seem to adjust very quickly. And then was it a big adjustment for you when you moved over?
It was, you know, it was a big adjustment in the sense that, You know, we lived on a farm in South Africa.
Okay.
And here we now here in the United States with all these big cities. We live in the suburbs now here in Minnesota, here just close to Minneapolis, in a town called Minnetonka. And, you know, that was a big adjustment. But I must say the culture is very similar, I think, in a way, in a slight way. You know, I think it maybe stems from English-speaking, Christian background, that type of stuff. So I think it's similar in that sense. But it was still a big adjustment, yeah.
What was your biggest adjustment?
You know, for me, I'm the kind of person that wherever I go, I just make the best out of it. So obviously the weather was a thing, but, you know, in another way, it was quite exciting. I never saw snow in my life, so now I'm surrounded by snow and I have to shovel snow. So weather was a thing. One other thing, which is a minor thing, but when I came here, I picked up weight like crazy. I don't know what it is in American
food. We all
food,
did,
but
yeah.
I just picked up weight. But culture-wise, United States is so big, and I think every state is a little bit different. So here in Minnesota, people are quite a lot more, it's not that they don't like outsiders, but they're very, like, they more closer. They're not so like South Africans. We just meet each other. We immediately click. We immediately like invite each other for meals. And, you know, we're in Minnesota. People are not rude or anything like that. But, you know, so for me, even though I've lived here in the States now for about 6 years, in October, it will be 6 years. I haven't really made a lot of friends. I made some friends, but not a lot of friends, you know what I mean? Of course, my wife's family's here, so that's been good. You know, I've made friends with her family and cousins and whatever. She's got a huge family here. So that's been a help, but in another way, not the best.
That's something that we've all experienced. Every single person I interview on the podcast, they all say the same thing. It's difficult to make friends.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, we've grown up with our friends and the culture's the same and we understand each
other.
Exactly. And I think to make friends out here is, you'll never have that bond. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Just to go back, you said something interesting. you put on weight pretty quickly with the American
big
food. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So I just want to find out, why do you think that is? Do you think it's because they eat a lot more takeout here? Or?
Yeah, it's maybe that, but I think the food is not such a good quality. You know, when I lived in South Africa, I ate pup for lunch every day. I love pup. Like, I went back on a trip in April. We went back for 3 weeks to go visit my mom and dad. And, man, one of the first meals I got was pup and boerewors. That's I miss it. So it's not like I ate this incredible healthy food when I was in South Africa, but I think food here is maybe a little bit more processed and obviously, you know, a lot of takeout and those type of things. So I don't know. I guess it comes down to self-discipline.
Yeah. Do you think also maybe it's because we were more active in South Africa?
100%. 100%. Yeah. You drive everywhere.
Yeah.
So again, you know, it's self-inflicted in many ways, but
well, yeah, I'm sure many of us can relate. Okay, so let's go back. What do you actually do here now in Minnesota?
When I first got here, so I didn't study or anything like that. I only had high school. I went to Ben Foster High School in Zanin. That's all I had, and so I didn't come here. We literally came here with 6 bags of clothes and like little trinkets and stuff we had from South Africa. We came with like, I had 3,000 Rand. And the first thing I did is I had to get a car. So I bought a car on eBay for like $2,000, like an old Chevy Trailblazer.
Okay.
And my first job was shoveling driveways from the snow.
Okay.
I was just like, you know, doing little handyman jobs everywhere. But then my first job was I became a car salesman at a Ford dealership.
Okay.
And that was actually a very good experience. The reason why was because every day I was meeting Americans from all over, you know, from all different backgrounds. And I learned so much about America talking to Americans on a daily basis.
Mm.
And it was a great intro for me. I'm actually connected with a lot of people that way. So I did that for about a year. And then my father-in-law knew a guy who had his own construction company, but a small one.
Okay.
And this guy met me once and we chatted and he found out that I'm quite handy with my hands. And he said, please, can I come work for him? So after doing the car sales for a year, I joined his construction company and I started working and installing and fixing stuff and building decks and all these type of things. But that was quite a big learning curve for me because switching from centimeters to inches, it is so confusing.
Yeah.
You know, we so used to, you know, it's so easy. It's all in 10 decimals where inches is so confusing. So that was big for me. And the other thing is we do a lot of outdoor work and I literally started in January, which is basically the coldest month in Minnesota. I had no clothes that could protect me against the cold. I was freezing like crazy. And then I learned to buy the proper clothes.
Fast a bit.
So I did that for about a year. And then this guy, eventually he promoted me to become his production coordinator. So I was more in the office. Did that for another year. And then one thing is I was 40 or 39 when I moved here. Realize I don't really have a savings. And a lot of people my age now, they have like 401ks, retirement plans, and all these houses and all these things. So I really wanted to do a job where I can make more money so I can start saving and planning for my future. So then I found sales and then I joined, and which I'm still part of, I joined a bigger remodeling company. Yeah. And that's what I'm doing for them now. I do sales. So I drive around. Every day I go to three different clients, wherever in Minnesota. Sometimes it's like a 2-3 hour drive, meet with people in their houses, and we sell windows and showers and kitchens and things like that. It's been a great gig for me. I really enjoy sales, and it's a great, you know, I love meeting people and chatting with people. Yeah. And you see all kinds of stuff. You walk into some homes, it's like $2 million, and you get go into some trailer homes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you meet a lot of people. It's a fun job. And it's been really great for me. But also what I did about four and a half years ago is when I was really wanting to make money, I thought I can do a second job. And so what I did is I joined the local fire department and became a volunteer firefighter. Okay. And initially I did it because I thought, well, it can be extra money, but it can also be a great way to meet people, to make friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I gave it a shot. And I must say that has been really a lot of fun. I really enjoy that. So I work here for a local fire department and it's more fun than a job for me. And that's also what I do.
So do they still, they pay you to be a volunteer?
They call you volunteer, but they still pay you per hour. And then also you get a retirement, which is not too shabby as well. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. That's probably where I made most of my friends, is just guys in the fire department. And
geez, so you've really done everything here, huh?
Yeah, no, I you know, the thing with the United States, which is the opportunity, there is so much opportunity. If you're just willing, and you're going to work hard and you put your work in, you're going to sow the rewards. Now, I'm sure you're aware of this, but when you move to the United States, everything works on credit score, And, you know, when I moved here, my credit score was zero, and my wife didn't have a credit score because she was out of the country for such a long time. So you can't buy stuff on credit. So you cannot really buy a house and all these things. So we had to build it up and work it up. But within 3 years, we were able to save up money to put a deposit down. We bought a beautiful house that we absolutely love, in a very nice town, in a nice neighborhood, good schools. The opportunity was there. We just had to really capitalize on it.
All right. Well, something we haven't spoken about, the whole visa process. How did you actually get over here?
In 2016, we came to visit her family here in the United States, just to visit. I just got a vacation visa back then. But because I'm married to an American already for quite a long time, they told me, if you're thinking of staying in the United States, you must not even consider it. It's illegal. I have to apply for a green card in South Africa. So in 2017, when we finally decided to move, I did that. I applied for a green card in South Africa. And it took about 6 months. I can't remember the exact money, how much it cost. I think it was maybe about $1,500 US. And then got my green card. And then my wife actually left earlier to just make sure the kids are settled into schools. I had to wait in South Africa for an additional 3 months to wait for my green card. Came over, and since me and my wife's been married already for a long time, and since I lived here for at least 3 years, I was able to apply for citizenship. So last year, actually the year before that, during COVID, I applied for my citizenship. It took about 18 months, but last year, I think October, I became a U.S. citizen.
Oh, wow. Okay. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
So did you go through a lawyer?
No. I did it all myself. Okay. Just did it, you know. It's fairly, I must say, they're portals, you know, to do your application. So it's fairly self-explanatory. Yeah. I didn't need a lawyer because there was nothing really weird in our situation.
Yeah. Okay. And what was your biggest challenge with the whole visa process? Or was it just cruising?
No, it was fairly cruising. It took long. When I applied for citizenship, it took literally 18 months. The one reason I think was because it was during COVID, but I think it kind of helped the fact that I'm a firefighter.
Yeah, definitely.
That counted points for me. Like here in the States, as you, I'm sure, where, you know, first responders are very much liked and trusted, and military people and things like that. So that, I think that kind of helped a little bit as well. And it was a fairly easy process in a sense. It was just waiting a while.
So if you had any advice for people wanting to come over here, what would it be?
Obviously, there's a visa thing, and that's a whole mystery, but there's ways, you know, there's many companies that hire people. Like, I've spoken with many young South Africans that come here and actually do farming here in Minnesota, and it's a great resource to get in. But I would say, you know, just that's one step, obviously. But I love South Africa so much. I miss it a lot. Yeah. I miss, obviously, my family a lot, but it is definitely, if you want to take a hold of whatever opportunities you have, definitely there's so much opportunities here in the United States. There's work. If you want to work, there's work. If you want to be successful, there's a way, you know. So America does reward hard work a lot. So,
and besides the family, what do you miss most about South Africa?
I would say the people. I love South African people. I went to Denver, I actually just got back last night. I went to Denver for a conference and I met two ladies from Kenya, and I was chatting with them more than anybody else, you know. So I love Africans. I love Africa. I miss Africa. Even when we went back in April, I was like a little kid, just, you know, seeing Saturday. People must have thought I'm weird or crazy. So I miss that element of South Africa, but the food, definitely. Yeah. I'm telling you now, South Africans don't know what they have, but South African food is still the best for me. You know, the lamb chops, the pap, the boerewors. I did find a small deli here in Minneapolis that actually makes boerewors. Yeah. Some Polish guy that makes boerewors, he makes it pretty good. So I like go there and I buy like 10 pounds of boerewors once a month from him. So, yeah, but, and of course, the nature, the beautiful Kruger Park, like, you know, I miss those type of things. America's obviously got beautiful nature, but there's, you know, there's something just to see, like a beautiful zebra or a beautiful lion.
Yeah, there's nothing like Africa, eh?
I brought back a zebra skin, so I got one in my house, but it's not the same.
You can put it over the couch and crawl up to the couch every now and again, pretend take a photo of a zebra. And do you make your own biltong and things?
You know, I tried and I made some once, but that was quite a few years ago. And then I took it to the car dealership when I was working there, and people loved it. I started getting orders because especially a lot of people's into this keto eating, you know, and they absolutely love it. So I don't make it so much anymore, but there is some places where I buy some from.
Because there's a lot of places, especially online, where you can order stuff. I actually order a lot of stuff from a place in Canada, South African stuff. Yeah, so they deliver within 3 days, which is amazing.
Yeah, another thing I miss is Windhoek Lager. You know, that's one thing that I do miss a lot.
It's been a pleasure. I've got one more question for you that I ask everybody. Do you think the grass is greener on the other side?
Yes, 100%. It is. It's greener, but it's also you know it comes with sacrifices. Mm-hmm. You know, at the moment I work a lot of hours, but the reward is great, you know, the financially and all those things. So if you're willing to work hard, it's definitely greener on this side.
Do you want to say something to our Afrikaans listeners?
Luister na Warren se podcast. It's a great podcast. Ek geniet dit verskriklik elke week. It's a great show. And go Bokke.
Go Bokke. Adrian, thanks a lot, man. It was a great chat. I know it took us a while to connect, but it was definitely worth it. It's always great to hear another South African voice. Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Thank you, Warren.
We hope Adrian's story has touched your heart and ignited a sense of unity across borders. If you're eager to explore more stories of South Africans abroad, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a moment. For exclusive updates, discussions, and a chance to connect with fellow listeners, be sure to join our vibrant community on Facebook. Just search for South Africans Abroad podcast and become part of the conversation. We're also excited to announce the launch of our brand new website, saabroadpodcast.com. There you'll find additional content, behind-the-scenes insights, and an easy way to access all your favorite episodes. So until next time, check your Tuesday.